Let's say a solemn prayer. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our hymnal sessions. Let's sing hymn 65. Continue to sing hymn 307. Continue to sing hymn 441. 441.
Let us all say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Saturday afternoon Sabbath service. Let us all arise to sing hymn 73. 73.
Shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast born us, thine we are. We are down, down lost, befriend us, be the guardian of our way. keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, we will early turn to Thee. Early let us seek Thy favor, early let us do Thy will. Bless our Lord and only Savior, with Thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast love us still.
We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. We are able to gather for this online service on this Saturday afternoon. We also give thanks to the Lord Jesus for giving us a wonderful opportunity to enjoy His grace on the Sabbath. So now we shall all kneel down to pray, to ask our Lord Jesus to guide and lead us in this afternoon Sabbath, so that whatever we learn from the Scripture will be able to give us edification and enable our spirituality to grow. Shall we now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven. We also send greetings of peace to all our brothers and sisters, our friends and relatives. May the peace and the joy of our Lord be given to all of us. And may the blessings of God come upon all those who observe this Sabbath. This afternoon, we shall continue what we discussed previously, that is the wishes and prayers of Moses. Now we shall continue to see Psalms 90. Psalms 90, verse 14. Psalms 90, verse 14. Psalms 90, verse 14. Verse 14 tells us, in the name of Jesus I read, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." All of us want to pass a life of enjoyment and to be filled with joy. So in verse 14, this was the third wish and prayer of the man of God, Moses. So this gives us a question to think about. How are we to pass a life of joy? Where this joy comes from God, happiness instead comes from the fleshly indulgence. In the depths of faith, faith is a form of enjoyment, where our relationship with God, if it is only at the surface, then this faith is a form of bondage or a burden. For example, attending services during Sabbath and observance of Ten Commandments, as well as offering of tithes. However, if we are able to get to the depths of faith, then we can find it that faith as an enjoyment of the grace and blessings of God and God Himself. We may ask this question, why do we believe in Christ? We need Him, His grace, and His blessings, and after which we will be able to feel joyful in our lives in God, because God cares for us. A very good example will be the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Where they were freed from 450 years of slavery, they were greatly filled with joy. But at the end, many of them also left. Therefore, the true enjoyment of faith is to be able to enjoy God Himself. This was the most beautiful and fulfilling thing, that is to be able to behold the glory of God. Man may admire another person, not because of his or her external factors, but rather his humility, in spite of the fact that he is successful. When we enjoy the grace of God and God Himself, this is actually the real enjoyment. So many people today in this world, they look for external matters to seek enjoyment, stimulants to make them happy. For example, addiction to smartphones. As a result, men cannot quieten themselves down. But the question now is, how are we to rejoice and be glad? If we are able to quiet down ourselves from this stimulus of the world, then we will be able to draw near in God. So what are we to be able to be rejoiced in? So in verse 14 tells us, we are able to rejoice in the mercy and the love of God. Today, we lack of joy is because we lack this type of feelings towards the Lord God. For example, if our wives today love shopping, they will have lack because they lack of love from their husband. So similarly, in our life of faith today, we must be able to find joy in the Lord God. Let's see Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. So here, the author, King Solomon, has mentioned concerning this action. Let's see chapter 1, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Kissing is the most intimate action of spouses. And here it says, your love is better than wine. The relationship between man and God. So today we have to repay the love of God, because this love draws us to God. And he also mentioned concerning wine. So this wine actually represents the enjoyment of the world. For example, worldly songs, movies, and etc. But the love of God is better than wine. Just like the feeling of the newlywed who attracts his spouse and looking forward to the end of his working day to be at home with their spouses. So with love, all is pleasant. So God is the same to us today. Where we love to praise Him daily, we continue to grow in His love. Just as what Paul testified, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ and God Himself. But the question now is, how are we to rejoice in the love of God? So the Bible gives us a few ways to do so. Number one is to meditate and observe, because the love of God is everywhere. He does not use much words or much actions. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 from verses 7 to 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7 from verses 7 to 8. Chapter 7 verse 7. A people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples. Sorry, verse 7. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, verse 8. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So God loves us because we are the least of all peoples. Among Esau and Jacob, God chose Jacob because he loved Jacob. This is recorded in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Today we are chosen by God, not because of our state or conditions, but rather because he loves us. So look at the situation around us today. We can realize all is filled with the love of God. So God actually wants us to see how much he loves us. And from there, we will be able to enjoy the love of God for us. Secondly, we are also to able to experience God in our lives. Just as what is recorded in Psalms 38. Psalms 34, we see from verses 8 to 10. Psalms 34 from verses 8 to 10. So these three verses, we can see there are three things, or rather three statements telling us of how are we able to experience God. So in verse 8, it mentions taste, that is, we can experience for ourselves. Secondly, verse 9, those who fear the Lord, they will not be in lacking. And verse 10, man can strive and work like the lion, but we lack this opportunity. So we continue to fear God in spite of all difficulty. So today, why are we alive? It's because of the grace of God that is for us, where he helped us in all difficulty. Therefore, we do not fear because God is with us. Then we will be able to experience joy in our lives, where the love of God becomes an assurance for us. And the third one is that when we are contented in our lives. That's why in the book of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. So here God tells us, verse 5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So verse 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So as long as we are contented, the Lord will never leave us. Many times during the economic slowdown, actually, if we trust in God more, our faith will improve. In times of crisis, God provides us with opportunity, and the grace of God is also manifested. And this love of God has come upon us through the Holy Spirit, because the love of man cannot be poured out, but the love of God can come into our hearts. So when someone faces tribulation, we often pray that God take it away for the person's sake. But actually, tribulation is good for one. It's a form of love of God being poured upon us. And from it, we can see that God and his love is true and the other things in the world are all false. And now we shall continue to see the next wish and prayer of Moses. Psalms 90, verse 15. Psalms 90, verse 15. So Psalms 90, verse 15. Here it records that Moses continued to pray to the Lord, Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years we have seen evil. So here Moses asked God to make him glad in the midst of his affliction. So faith itself is a trial, is a training. Therefore, in order to elevate our faith, we need to undergo certain trials. Just like Moses and the people of Israel who were in the wilderness. So why do we need to be afflicted? The attitude of one who has faith and the one who does not have faith how we look at affliction, it differs. Towards one who has no faith, affliction will mean that he is unlucky, unfortunate. But towards one who has faith, who has matured in faith, affliction can be explained. Because affliction has a purpose and a value. In it, it is beneficial to man. Therefore, it's something for us to be thankful about. Just like the Apostle Paul have told us that the will of God is that we rejoice always, we continually give thanks, and to pray always. So affliction can be numbered or measured according to days or years. But Moses did not ask God to take away affliction in his life. When he lived in the palace for the first 40 years of his life, he lived a very good life. And his mother gave him good religious education. So as a result, at the age of 40, he was willing to let go all the enjoyment of the palace, all the wealth in it, so that he will be able to gain the heavenly riches that cannot be seen. But in one night, he lost three things. Firstly, he lost the status as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Secondly, he also lost the passing pleasures of sin. Thirdly, he also lost the treasures in Egypt. So all this takes a great faith. Therefore, the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, he did so by faith. So this is a good question for us today. Are we willing to forgo everything for the Lord? So God only used him at the age of 80. For 40 years, he served in the wilderness as a shepherd. This was already a very difficult task, as what Jacob has described in Genesis 31, verse 39. But God molded Moses of this character, including his ego, his pride, and esteem. For before this, in Exodus chapter 2, Moses relied upon himself to deliver the people. If God did not train him well, how could Moses withstand the people of Israel when they were about to cross the Red Sea? So these 40 years of affliction or training in the wilderness made Moses to understand that he was only a human. That's why not only successful people necessarily can serve God with their own understanding. Today, who are we? We are only merely vessels, earthen in nature, only the vessels of God. So in affliction, it is actually good because it will help us to grow in faith, humility, and love. Then we will realize that we are actually lacking in many things of life as we face God. And as what Paul says, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 from verses 3 to 4. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 to 4. Verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. 4. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So here we can see, tribulation will produce perseverance, and perseverance will produce character. So the character is referring to a changed person who is being molded by the environment. Where certain individuals, where is it a spouse, the co-worker, or the children, they would be molded by them, or even molded by God, or so-called sharpened by God himself. So therefore, our spirituality must continually grow. That's why we need to sharpen one another. Finally, at the age of 80 to 120, the last 40 years of Moses, God wanted to use him to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. So Moses regarded the people of Israel as only infants, childish in nature. But by the guidance of God, he was able to lead the people into the land of Canaan. There is a price to pay. So in Matthew chapter 17, on Mount Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured before them, shining and was filled with glory. So doing church work is also the same. Many people will only want to choose to become assistants and not to take charge. They are not willing to take up this pressure, because this pressure is the way we are to suffer for the Lord. And all this labor at the end, we know that it will be able to produce an eternal weight of glory. That's why Paul says it is only a light and momentary affliction. If you were to see 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul did the work of God. He was full of labor and pain. But through the work of Paul, the Gentiles were able to believe and be saved. So Paul did all this in order to repay the love of Christ. And this light affliction that Paul suffered, at the end, it resulted in him having an eternal weight of glory for him in the future. Today, we may make many people make plans for their lives. That is, of course, the furthest plan, the furthest destination in life. But after which, nothing continues. Today, if you look from the Bible, what is the furthest plan? Is to be able to come before God to await His reward. To receive the exceeding weight of eternal glory that God has prepared for us. Therefore, what must we do now? That is, we must do the work of God. To suffer for Christ is a grace, is an opportunity. So why did the people of Israel suffer affliction? Of course, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 tells us, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 tells us that it was actually to test the Israelites, to know what is in their heart, whether they would keep the commandments of the Lord or not. It is only in suffering that we realize the level of our own faith, whether is it weak or strong. Where faith is tested by our suffering, difficulty, and affliction. But we believe God will take care of us. Then we will realize that if we and we face suffering, then we realize how much we know ourselves and our condition. And Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 also tells us. Let's continue to see Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So the wilderness is a great and terrible place where God has given them manna to eat. So man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God, the promises of God. So when we face affliction, what is our response? Is to seek the assistance of men. But if we look to the Bible, is to see what the Lord has promised to us. That is, the Lord has promised to give us peace, joy, wisdom, and comfort, as well as power. So what do we need to do now? Is to kneel down and pray to Him, for God is faithful and never lying. It is the Lord God Himself. So today, when we face affliction, our hearts must be connected to God. Only then we can be at peace and rest in our lives. When we talk about peace and rest, it does not mean physical experience, but rather when we face affliction, our hearts remain peaceful, just as Jesus was on the cross. Therefore, today we also need to comfort one another, especially those who are sorrowful, those who are in distress. We use the teachings of the word of the Bible, then afflictions will no longer be fearful. And as a result, this life of faith will become a form of trial to enable us to become better in our faith. Then we continue now to see Psalms 90. Psalms 90, we see verse 16. We continue to see what did Moses wish and pray for. Let's see verse 16. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. So here in verse 16, Psalms 90 says, what was Moses praying for? So here it says, your servants. Your servants actually refer to Moses. Their children refer to the next generation. So in the prayer of Moses here can be seen of two parts here. That is that the people, the first part is that the people whom Moses led, they could have had this experience. They have seen that God was invincible without works, and we cannot experience His greatness and His power. But from the book of Exodus, it tells us of how great is this work and frightening is this act of God. And the second part is so that the people in the next generation, they would be able to experience God. In all, both are actually discussing on one same thing, that is succession and the passing on of our faith. So faith is actually an inheritance, something we can pass on to the next generation, where God is our inheritance. Let's turn to Psalms 16. Psalms 16, verse 5. Psalms 16, verse 5. Verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup you hold, my Lord. So man actually has two kinds of riches. One, worldly riches. Secondly, is the Lord God himself. And in Psalm 16, here it tells us that we have the Lord God as our portion, as our cup, as our Lord. So in verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. So in pleasant places refer to the spiritual realm. So this inheritance can be passed on to our next generation. Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when man has God as his inheritance, we will be filled with joy and hope. Therefore, today we need to prepare our next generation, not only in physical matters, where we are talking about their education and career, but more importantly, the spiritual side, that is to enable them to have and remember God. Therefore, today, spending time with them is so crucial. And at the end, their spiritual lives can be more abundant. That's why, before Moses died, he wrote the book of Deuteronomy, where he knew throughout this journey in the wilderness, they were lacking in nothing because God was with them. So what was prevalent at that time in the heart of Moses was that whether the people could retain their faith, rather whether they have sufficient food to eat or not. So today, we need to pursue the abundance of God rather than the worldly or material enjoyment or success. And with God's abundance, we will lack nothing. So today, we must look highly into the succession of faith. But how are we to pass on our faith? Number one, we ourselves must experience God. So today, we have heard so much theories about God, but this is lacking. Why? Because we don't have experience. We do not interact with God. Then our relationship with God cannot be established. That's why in Psalm 78, verse 4 tells us, to tell our next generation the strengths and the wonderful works of the Lord God, so that when they look back into these experiences, their lives will be changed and will be filled with joy upon return. So their faith will be renewed and they will continue to serve the Lord God. And during the time of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, the people of Israel at that time, they worshipped Baal. So as a result, God did not pour down rain for 3.5 years. But God wanted his people to return to him. But before that, he gave experiences to Elijah, who was by the brook of Cherith in the widow's house. After which he experienced God, he was able to lead the people of Israel, the next generation, to God. So first of all, he talked to them about theoretically whether they would choose to worship God or Baal. Then he made them to make a choice between these two. Often than not, we know making a choice is always very painful. It's always with difficulty. They were affected by the culture at that time, is that because the people worship Baal. So theory really cannot really change the people. So when did they change? They only changed when they started to offer sacrifices. They spent the whole day to offer to Baal, but there was no response. Then later, Elijah's turn came to offer. So the fire of the Lord came. So immediately, they saw this and they changed their faith. Immediately they saw this, they changed themselves. They killed the false prophets and their faith was changed. Therefore, today we need to pray that our next generation can have experience. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, from verses 34 to 37, Moses was telling the people how God led them out of Egypt. He reminded them that the Lord is a living God, can be experienced. This is something we often need to remind our next generation, so that they will be able, as they face temptation, pressure, they will know to rely upon God. Therefore, we need to pray for them so that their faith can be active as well. Of course, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as parents, we also have our duty to educate our children so that they will be able to know God and have God in our lives. God can enable the dead to be resurrected. So today, yes, when we draw near to God, our families will also face less problems. Our families will be greatly blissful and blessed by God if we fear God. Because God can enable things to happen. Faith cannot be separated from our life. For example, we observe the Sabbath. God will bless us. So what is precious in the true Jesus Church today? It's not the Sabbath hour, but rather the day of Sabbath, where we are able to have abundant enjoyment and joy when we observe it. So today we must also enable our next generation to know of these beautiful and wonderful works of the Lord. Lastly, we see Psalms 90. Psalms 90, we see verse 17. Psalms 90, verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So here, it tells us, verse 17, may the beauty of the Lord, may the favor of the Lord be upon us. So today in our faith, we pursue differently, but all this faith comes from God. So this is the favor of the Lord. This is the beauty of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. So here it tells us that our life have two different pursuits. Verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers, or like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. So today we may pursue. We pursue the beauty of man, but it was only likened to grass and flower. It will blossom, and after which it will begin to fall and drop. Similarly, the life of man, the beauty of man, will reach a peak, and then it will wither, and the value will also decline. With the new upcoming stars, the older stars will feel that their prime time has almost come to an end. So at times, our faith is also represented by the material things, the worldly fame that we have. But our faith is different, because faith is an add-on of a person in his life. Where today, in verse 23, we have been born again. Our spiritual life has been revived. Our faith, the growth of our faith continually growing. So what is the value of pursuing truth? Where our spirit and soul will grow and become more beautiful. Even though we may have good health, wealth, or job, but all this will soon pass away. True pursuit of faith does not lie in material enjoyments and needs. Look at the life of Paul. He wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament. In the Bible also tells us, his bodily presence was weak, his speech is contemptible. But what did he say? For him to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So this is the real pursuit of our life today. And at that time when God asked Moses and the 70 elders to ascend the mountain, what does it mean to ascend the mountain? That is to climb to the spiritual heights. There they was able to see God. That this description was beyond human description. When the glory of God appeared to them, they could not describe with words. This is the beauty of God. So when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he fasted for 40 days and nights to pray to God for the sin of the people. And when he came down, he did not realize that his face shone. And after 40 days and nights, the glory and beauty of the Lord befell upon him. So what is this true beauty? So from the spiritual perspective, if we are to show the spiritual glory of God, this is true beauty. This is the goal of our faith. That's why David at that time has said, Psalms 27, we see verse 4. Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David continually seek one thing, that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, so that he'll be able to behold the beauty of the Lord. So in the New Testament, the glory of the Lord is manifested upon our Lord Jesus. Even though Jesus does not have any physical or worldly beauty that we should look upon, but he has attracted us through the beauty of God. That is his righteousness, merciful, his mercy, his humility, his submissiveness, and his love. Therefore, today we must continually learn to pursue after him and to be like him. And at the end, our faith will continue to grow. But how are we to allow the beauty of the Lord to enter us? That is, number one, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we need to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then we can control our own desires and wishes. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, as what Paul says, there is liberty, there is freedom. So if we believe in Christ, we will have this freedom. And we need not do so many things. Because faith is not to bind us, but to enable us to have freedom. Of course, we also know the knowledge of the Lord is also important. So today we must become more and more valuable. That is to be transfigured, to have the image and likeness of Christ. So this is the pursuit of our faith today. So the second part in verse 17, at that time Moses prayed, Psalms 90 verse 17, he prayed that may the favor of the Lord be upon us. So what is this faith? Faith is actually a privilege. Why do we say so? Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. Gospel according to John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So today, if we believe in Jesus and accept him, he will give us him the right and the privilege. This is because our sins have been forgiven and we rely upon his grace. That's why today we can be the children of God is out of the grace of God. So faith is actually a privilege that we are able to enjoy the grace of God. In this world, we do not rely on the wisdom of men, but rather we rely upon the grace of God. Finally, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see verse 12. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behave in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. So this was the experience of Paul. So today, there are also many examples in our life that we rely upon God and not human wisdom. Just like the people who were under the leadership of Joshua, finally they were able to conquer the land of Canaan. So if God wants to give to us, this is our privilege. And at the same time, this is also the grace of God for us. So we have already seen from these few sessions of our sermon that is concerning the wishes and prayers of Moses, the man of God. So we hope and we pray all these prayers, all these wishes will also turn to become our wishes and prayers in our life. Our sermon shall end here. We give all glory and praise to the Lord. And now we shall sing our concluding hymn. We sing hymn 57. 5-7.
Cleanse each spot, O Lamb.
Give thanks to our Lord Jesus. Now we shall say our second prayer. So in our second prayer, let's continue to pray for one another. We pray for our families. We also pray for the church, as well as we also pray for the nation as well. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. Service shall end here. All glory to the Lord God. May peace and blessings be given to all of you. Hallelujah.